There's a lot of things we like doing on this show. A lot of things. We like our Mondays. We do our 10 things we learned about college football over the weekend. We also like our Tuesday 10 NFL extra points. We also like Wednesdays, Champs Wednesdays on ESPN 1430. We like it for a lot of reasons. Because we get to eat. We eat well. But also, mainly, to talk to this man. Catch it up with Coleman. Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com. What's up, Christopher? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, especially since I got the delicious Champs barbecue in me.
Look at that. Look, we fed Thomas Emmerich. We fed Quentin Penhalla, Brian Weitzel. I ate. And Chris Coleman got to devour some Champs on a Wednesday afternoon. We got a little something to get into. Another victory for the Hokies. 6-1, 3-0 in ACC play. It's a kind of a lag week so far, Christopher, because we're not having to play a game on Saturday. I'm almost thinking, man, scrap the bye. But comes at a good time because one young man, true freshman Tyrod Taylor, gets the high ankle sprain, the right ankle sprain. First off, let's talk about Tyrod from the standpoint of getting hit a lot. You saw the groin injury a couple of weeks back. Richard Graham at left guard blows a block, and Tyrod gets blown up. How concerned are you with this happening often?
It's always been very concerning, obviously, and especially with Tyrod because, you know, he hasn't been in a college weight room before. He's still a little fragile. He needs a year with Mike Gentry in the weight room to add some muscle mass, cut down on those injuries and things like that. But, you know, right now it is what it is, and you just got to hope, you know, he can get healthy as quickly as possible. Those high ankle sprains affect different people in different ways. You know, some people, they're not out very long. Some people, it hampers them for the rest of the season. So you just never know what's going to happen until he comes out of that boot on Saturday. Then you can start to get a better read.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com on ESPN 1430. And you made the point I made on Monday about his body getting stronger at some point. Because remember, he's only 18 years old. Remember that he's still, you know, less than months removed from being in high school. And you're right. We're not even talking about a year in a weight training program or weight conditioning program like one at a college level. High school, and we've all played it before. I know when I was in high school, the training was about showing up, them taking attendance, doing little push-ups, maybe a little universal machine, and walking out. So, like you said, Mike Gentry will get him, and eventually, yes, the muscles, tendons, all that will get stronger, and he'll have a tremendous base, especially in his legs. And that's important because that's where he's going to make his living.
Absolutely. You know, and he's only going to get faster in this Tech strength and conditioning program. All the quarterbacks in the past got faster. You know, they came in known for being able to run. You know, Michael Vick, Marcus Vick, Brian Randall, those guys all came in being known as scramblers, but they got faster after they got to Virginia Tech. And the same thing is going to happen to Tyrod. I think he was timed at a 4.39 in the 40. When he first got here, after a year of strength and conditioning, you know, I think he'll probably be running 4.3 flat or something like that. And that's going to be one of his calling cards. You know, you can't overlook his arm, which is probably more impressive than his legs, believe it or not.
What also has to happen, Chris, and hopefully it'll come with time too, with experience also, is that a defensive player can't get a shot on him, a flush shot at him. One of the great things about Michael Vick and players like Michael Vick was you never saw a guy, defensive player, have a straight-on shot at him, and that keeps the guy from getting hurt. Tyrod's got to get that same ability, too.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, in ways, you know, he's still adjusting to the speed of the game because, like you said, he was in high school just a few months ago playing against boys, basically. And when he rolled down to Duke on Saturday and Vince Ogabasi hit him, the former five-star recruit who could have gone to Oklahoma, Texas, Miami, anywhere he wanted to, you know, he got hit by a man. He got hit by Vince Ogabasi. You know, so there's still things he's getting used to at this level.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe on a Wednesday. And Chris, let's go to the backup quarterback. Let's talk about him. First drive, 4 for 4 on that drive, and I said it, and I'll say it again, and you can tell me your thoughts. When I watched that drive, Chris, for me, it was the best drive this offense had this season. Do you agree, disagree? And if you don't agree, tell me why you don't agree, and give me a drive that was better.
I agree with you 100%. I'm certainly not going to sit. We could sit here, you know, for a couple hours, and maybe I think of one that was better, but I doubt it. Yeah, Sean Glennon played very well. Obviously, it was Duke. Their secondary is not very good. And Tyrod Taylor would have gone on and had a big day. Also, you know, let's go ahead and get that out of the way. But at the same time, Sean Glennon showed the improvements that I saw and many others saw in the offseason, in spring practice and in preseason practice. He showed a better pocket presence, better footwork, the ability to slide in the pocket and find the right passing lanes. And he also just looked more confident and played like he had nothing to lose. There was no hesitation in firing a lot of those passes down the middle because, you know, what are they going to do at this point? Are they going to bench him if he throws an interception? And they've already benched him, you know, and I doubt they're going to take him out now and at that point and put Corey Holt in the game. So, you know, he had nothing to lose out there, and he went out and played like it and played very well.
16-21, 258 yards, two TDs for Sean. And one of the good things that came out of this, obviously, was the fact that after the whole benching, he made comments, and he made comments that you wouldn't want a player to make, especially a quarterback, to make those comments because they are leaders. They are one of the most – it's the important most important position on the offense. Let's face that fact. He's taking all the snaps. But you don't want your leader to speak the way he did a month ago when he was benched. But the good thing about it is now it looks like that the coaching staff has got him to a point where he's doing things the right way. And you talked about him sliding in and out of the pocket. For me, it's like watching a different guy now because he's able to watch Tyrod do that. And not to say that he wants to beat Tyrod Taylor, but all of a sudden now he looks a whole lot more comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, it also I think it, you know, it comes back to just getting experience and reps. But at the same time, you think back last year and what was drilled into his head and what was expected of him. They just drilled into his head over and over and over, don't turn the ball over, don't turn the ball over, don't beat us. You know, just go out and manage the game. You know, and when you're back there and you want to throw a pass, and but in the back of your mind you're thinking, oh, I can't throw it because I might get picked. Then, boom, you get sacked from behind and you fumble. You know, I just think he went out there on Saturday and played like he had nothing to lose. I think he looked very loose. And I'm telling you right now, Sam Wheeler has to be the biggest Sean Glennon fan in the world. Sam Wheeler has 14 catches this year for a little over 200 yards. 10 of those catches have come in the 1.5 games Sean Glennon has played in. He had 7 for 81 in the opener against East Carolina, and he had 4 for 94 the other day against Duke. One of those came from Tyrod Taylor, but the others came from Glennon. And Glennon and Wheeler obviously have a thing. It just seems like Glennon always knows where he's going
to
be.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs on ESPN 1430. And we talked about what Sean was able to do on the field. What's good about that is, and tell me what you make of this, once he came in the game, and we talked about that first drive and how the rhythm was there, to me it was almost like the coaches said, let him go, let him pass. What do you make of the fact that it seemed like the game plan changed a little bit once Sean came in the game and Tyrod wasn't in the game? Is it a matter of thinking, we've had this guy in our offense for 3 years now, he knows our game plan, and let him loose and not feel like he can't make a mistake?
Right. I would have been surprised if they'd actually gotten conservative run the ball, because when they brought him in against UNC, he was cold, didn't even get to warm up against UNC, and they let him come in on that one play and throw a pass. So, in hindsight, you know, and thinking about it even then, they did what they should have done, because he's a guy who passed for over 300 yards on Duke last year. You know, he has a history of throwing the ball all over Duke. He's a guy who knows Tech's offense. He can throw any pass, you know, into the second level. He can pretty much make any pass on the field at this point in his career. He can read Duke's defense very well. It wouldn't have made sense to go in there and just have him hand the ball off up the middle, which obviously wasn't even working with Tyrod in the game. So they did what they needed to do to win the game. I thought Brian Steinspring called a very good game, and they got out of there with a win, which is what they needed to do, and now that sets up a big matchup next Thursday.
Before we talk about the running game, I do want to talk about this, and I wanted your opinion on this also, is the fact that eventually Tyrod will get those same liberties as far as coming into the game, being able to throw the football, because as a receiver, Morgan, Royal, Harper, whoever it is, they're thinking, man, Sean's in the game. We're going to move the football through the air now. Tyrod didn't get those same liberties early in the Duke game, but eventually when he learns the offense, that will come.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's not going to be this year. you know, it's going to be more in line in next year after he gets a spring practice under his belt. So Tech fans should not expect too much for the remainder of this year. In fact, if his leg, if his ankle is not 100% next week against Boston College, I would not put him out there at all, because I don't want to put a quarterback out there that isn't 100% with his running, and then on top of that, can't read the opposing defense, which is, you know, to a point is where Tyrod is right now. You know, if you can't run, you know, they obviously don't have the confidence, don't have as much confidence in the passing game as they do Glennon. So what's the point of putting him out there against Boston College so he can be a stationary target in the pocket who doesn't know where to throw the ball? At least with Glennon, you've got a stationary target in the pocket that knows where to go with the football.
Well, what would help, Sean, and we're talking to Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com, catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. What would help Sean or Tyrod on next Thursday would be a running game. 17-37, one TD for Brandon Orr last week. 414 yards on the year, 3 yards per carry. Chris, those 414 were two games last year. What happened on Saturday? Why didn't things work out a little bit better against a Duke team that was vulnerable against the run?
You know, I thought the offensive line played better on Saturday. Apparently, from what I understand, the tight ends did not play very well in the run blocking game. And, you know, the tailbacks didn't play very well, but they really haven't been playing well all year. And at this point, you know, I've pretty much given up hope on the running game making big improvements or even modest improvements. I think at this point, you know, it is what it is. Now, unless Brandon Orr gets healthy this week in the off week, I don't see it happening. So we know how Tech has to win the ball, win football games the rest of the year. Good special teams, great defense, and if Tyrod Taylor's at quarterback with his legs, or if Sean Glennon's at quarterback with his arm, that's the Tech's formula for victory the rest of the year. And I don't think that running game's going to come along very much.
You know, as much as coaches want to preach balance and want to have balance in their football team, yeah, you might run 60 offensive plays. And you might want to throw 30 and run 30. That's fine. And you can still run your 30.
Mm-hmm.
You can still run your 30 plays. But we're at a point, and you mentioned it, the fact that if you gain 90 yards rushing those 30 plays, then that's pretty much what we're going to accept right now. Let's go on the other side, Chris. Let's talk about the defense. Brett Warren, first start, inside linebacker, gets a start, replacing Vince Hall. I'm not surprised, but I am really impressed how well he played, because you know well as I do that when you don't get that game action, you can't go out the first game and actually make the plays he made. He was all over the place, 11 total tackles, an interception, a sack. How impressed were you with the way he played?
I was very impressed, and you know, it's not necessarily his stats that impressed me. It's how he looked when he was on the field. His lateral quickness was very good. Against Duke, he was no drop-off from Vince Hall. Now, you know, maybe he'll be a drop-off next Thursday. I don't know. We'll find out next Thursday. But, you know, I think it's safe to say that Tech's going to have a good Mike linebacker next year. I think we can all say that at this point, because he was very impressive against Duke.
You know what? Being around the football the way he was, once again, is a credit to him, because you talked about doing that lateral movement. You don't get that lateral movement just by sitting on the sidelines and not worrying about going in the football game. He prepared himself to play, and that's something that anyone can learn from, especially after hearing what Sean said, you know, back when he was benched about wanting to go somewhere else. No, prepare yourself like Brett Warren did. Get ready to play the football game, because you might be able to play. And when you're out there, you can play like Brett did and make a difference, and also feel like the team didn't miss anyone.
You're exactly right. And I think when Brett got hurt last year, it was actually, at the time, you know, people were like, oh, goodness, where's the linebacker depth? But it actually is going to turn out good for Tech in the long run, because he got a medical redshirt last year, and instead of being a true senior this year, the same year as Vince Hall, now he's a redshirt junior, which means he'll get to come in next year, start, and you know, it would be a shame if a guy of the caliber of Brett Warren never got to start at Virginia Tech, but now he will get to start next year for the Hokies.
All right, Christopher, good job by you, brother. Enjoy that rest of that barbecue sandwich. We got to get out of here, man.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. You got it. Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, does it well every week on ESPN 1430, every Wednesday. Catch it up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. Len Martez here with you. One more segment to go on the show on this Champs Wednesday on ESPN 1430. We got to take a short time out. When we get back, we'll talk a little ACC football. We'll talk about that coach that, yeah, he's on the unlucky side because his football team has bad special teams.
Agreed.